verse 31. Isaiah 41. We've been in a series in the last 4 weeks on eagles, and we're going to conclude that today. We're going to start a new series next week on the book of Genesis. For those that don't know, the first 11 chapters of Genesis are really about the most amazing 11 chapters in all the Bible, and it really sets the precedent and the foundation of many things we believe in, many things that we kind of like anchor our beliefs in. So the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis are really, really amazing. And so we're going to kind of just verse by verse, chapter by chapter, as we dive into that next week, book of Genesis. Here today, we're finishing up our series on eagles. So this would be considered a topical sermon, topical about eagles and the analogy between eagles and Christians. And then, of course, when we get into Genesis, it's expository teaching and preaching. We go verse by verse. We go chapter by chapter. Look at me, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, that we know for most of our lives. If you've been in church, you grew up in church, heard this thing quoted. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Many scriptures in the Bible deal with eagles. In Psalms chapter 103, it talks about the youth can be renewed like eagles. In Psalm 91, verse 4, under the wings of eagles thou shalt trust. Ezekiel 17:3, eagles are large. 2 Samuel 1:23, eagles are swift. In Job 39, it says eagles can see at great distances. Just a few of the verses that talk about the different aspects of eagles. And so today we're going to finish this series as we think about soaring like eagles. Just soaring. That's what they do. That's what we're amazed by. That's what we're see an eagle in the skies, and it just kind of is breathtaking. And so we as Christians want to soar like eagles, and be at the very top of our game as Christians and what God wants for us, like He does them. And in 1782, the eagle was chosen as our national emblem. 1782. The eagle graces our quarters. It graces our $1 bills. It graces our passports. That's our emblem. And so we look at eagles for many different reasons, but mainly on those things that it talks about. It speaks of just the eagle itself being on there. It just talks about the freedom and liberty and the power and the strength that we have as a country. And that's our emblem since 1782. And then verse 31 is that most famous verse. They shall mount up. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Our takeaway, they shall soar. When you mount up with the wings as eagles, then they soar. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. Eagles not only soar, but they glide. They glide while maintaining consistent altitude. And so, really, this verse compares eagles' growth to spiritual growth for the Christian. And that's what we're going to see this morning. A little outline in the bulletin. If you have one, you can fill that out and just have to take notes. As we think about number one, spiritual soaring is not optional, it's normative. See, we were created to soar. We were created to grow and mature in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been looking at eagles, and we've been talking about how they compare and how the analogy fits and how it correlates. And so spiritual soaring is not optional. It's normative. Spiritual growth is not something you can take or leave. Some people would say that's not their belief, but it's not something you can take or leave, and I'm going to explain it to you. The truth is, we are all in the growing process. There's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're a baby. There is definitely something wrong with being a baby when you've grown up. And of course, the reference is, as a Christian, there's definitely something wrong
There's definitely something wrong when we grow in our Christian life, but we stay in the baby stage. And so that's what we're talking about. Milk is good. I drink milk this morning. But milk is good. But it's recommended as baby food. And babies need to grow. And baby needs to get on solid foods. We've been there. You're a parent or a grandparent. You've been there. And so that's all it's talking about as a Christian. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We're to grow spiritually. We're to mature in the Word of God and as a Christian and learn and grow. And so that's what it means. So we can soar someday. So we can simply own our faith and why we believe what we believe. And so that's all we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. We're on the growing process. In Romans chapter 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul is writing there in the book of Romans that we're all going to grow. Some people are going to grow in the earthly, fleshly, worldly era. And other people are going to grow in the heavenly, spiritual, holy area in Christian maturity. All going to grow. It's not optional. You're going to grow this way or that way. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says, this is the will of God that we become sanctified. That word sanctified means to be set apart with holiness. Set apart unto being holy. And so that's the goal for God, for us, that's the goal God has for us in our lives as Christians, is to grow in the grace and knowledge, to grow fully mature, fully developed, fully spiritual, and that's his goal for us. So it's an option. You can take it, leave it, you can work at it, you can simply abide by it or not. Sanctification means set apart into holiness. God's plan, God's purpose for me, God's plan, God's purpose for you, God's plan, God's purpose for us, his people, is to soar spiritually. But it comes down to personal choice. Those who scoff at spiritual things, going to church, nah, it's not for me. Christian fellowship, nah, that's my cup of tea. Pray, singing in worship, nah, I don't like that kind of music. It's boring. There's different people that scoff at those kind of things that we don't scoff at. Those people that scoff, they're Christians, they scoff at the things that we talk about, going to church and learning and growing and Bible study and simply having a prayer life and fellowship with like-minded believers. Those people that don't do that, they're going to be conformed to a non-spiritual adversary, the evil one himself, the devil, because they've chosen that. It's not God's will. God just gives you a choice. Many today have been pulled away from spiritual things that are failing or falling or upside down, toxic atmosphere of the world, this evil environment, conforms people to that. You start listening enough, you'll start seeing that, you'll start hearing that side of the debate. And that side of the debate, you'll start shaking your head like, yeah, I see that. And yeah, I think I agree with that. And yeah, I think I can go along with that. And you're conformed if you're not careful. So here's what it's like. So you got a Christian that's saved, but they've never decided to become spiritual. Spiritual things is not their cup of tea. And so it's like this. It's like taking one of my white dress shirts. It's like taking one of my white dress shirts and washing it with a load, you ready? A load of brand new red t-shirts. Mark it down. My formerly white dress shirt is going to change. It's just something in the wash. It's going to change. That's the same thing we're talking about here. Hey, if you've been saved, if you're a Christian today, and all of a sudden, you know, you've been out of church, or you don't go to church, or you're not interested in Sunday school, or you're not interested in Bible study, or you don't have an active prayer life, or you don't have Christian fellowship. Hey, all of a sudden, if you're not careful, you're not even going to know it, but you're going to change. And if we don't choose to be informed and influenced by godly things, spiritual things, if we don't choose to have to set our minds on things above, like Scripture says, the world will pull us down, the world will take over us, and the world will change us and influence us. That's all we're saying. Don't settle. Don't follow friends and peers and family members just to go with the flow. God's plan for you is to soar. God's plan for me is to soar, to rise above the things of the world. This is not our home. We're just passing through. And one day we're going to be out of here. And so we're preparing for the next life over. And you ought to have a heart that wants those kind of things. Soaring. We want to soar to be more like Jesus. And soaring to be more like Jesus don't just happen. It's a choice that you have to make and I have to make and we have to make. Hey, spiritual soaring is not optional. It's normative. Number two, it's a process, not an event. To soar like eagles in the Christian vernacular, then we got to understand that it's a process, not an event. Philippians says this. Paul wrote Philippians 3:12. When he wrote this, he was saved 30 years. The Apostle Paul, saved 30 years, wrote this. You ready? Here's what he wrote after being saved 30 years. I have not obtained or already been made perfect, but I press on. Sprout an understanding that verse that Paul wrote is saying this, spiritual soaring takes time. We understand that. It takes time to become spiritual. It takes time to grow spiritually mature. It takes time to be spiritually developed. And that's exactly what 30 years he's writing this. I haven't made it yet. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained yet. Hey, after 30 years, the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary that there's ever been, one of the greatest men in all the Bible. And he said after 30 years of being saved, 30 years of serving the Lord, 30 years of planting churches, 30 years of being a missionary, 30 years of doing all the things we quote Paul is doing, he simply says, man, I hadn't obtained yet. Hey, I haven't arrived yet. Hey, I'm going to keep pressing on. That's what we need to understand, that it's a process, not an event. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm still learning, is what he said. But I got good news for you, because Ephesians 4:11, here's what God said, I gave the church. God said, I gave the church. Here goes, 4:11. He said, I gave some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Verse 12, Ephesians 4, that's 11. Verse 12 says, here's the reason I gave evangelists, pastors, and teachers to the church, to the local church. I gave them for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting means to get you equipped, to equip us for our daily journey on earth. To equip us, to develop us, to begin to mature us, to begin to get some understanding in us. So that's the gift he gave to the church. He gave some evangelists, he gave some pastors, he gave some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Here goes, verse 14, that henceforth, hold it, how about, from henceforth means the day you accepted Christ, the day I accepted Christ, the day you got saved, the day you entered into a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, from henceforth, from this point on, after being saved, after becoming a Christian, from this point on, be no more children. He gave the church evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So from henceforth, from the day we made that decision, from henceforth, we're no more children. No more children means, hey, we're adults, but we have children mentality of spiritual things. We're adults, our hair is turning gray, and we still got the maturity, we still got the mentality of a child spiritually. That's what he's talking about. From henceforth, from this point on, be no more children, not grown. Not mature. He goes on to say, tossed to and fro. You know what that means? That means where you're at the water cooler worker, or you're in the dining area at work, or you're in the lunchroom at school, or you're just on a break somewhere, and you have somebody talking religion, or talking church, or talking beliefs, or talking doctrine. He says, hey, be no more tossed to and fro. What he's saying is, going from belief to belief to maybe I ought to believe that, our church don't teach that, and you're just mixed up. He said, man, I gave the church pastors and teachers, I gave the church men of God that can simply teach you with good understanding, hey, so they can perfect you and develop you spiritually. I've given you teachers like Sunday school teachers and Bible study teachers so they can simply get you from ground zero up as you grow and learn and mature and develop so that you will not be tossed to and fro like you don't know what's going on or what they're talking about or what I believe or why I believe. Believe it, no. And carried by every wind of doctrine. Gushing winds coming in both sides of the ears of false teaching and false doctrine that goes around. We need to understand that, boy, when we're first saved, we don't know much. But when we're saved 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, we ought to know some stuff. And that's what it's talking about. Hey, we need to soar like eagles spiritually in our lives. Here's what the Bible says. Listen, I love this verse. Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you pastors who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Not only does he say in Ephesians 4:11 that I've given you some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, but he says in the Old Testament, Jeremiah, he simply says, man, I'm going to give pastors to churches. I'm going to give you some pastors that are shepherds. I'm going to give you pastors that not are hirelings. They're not hirelings. I'm going to give you some pastors who are going to love on you and teach you and invest in you. I'm going to give you some pastors who will feed you with knowledge and understanding so we can grow spiritually, develop spiritually, become mature in the things of God. That's what Scripture tells us. It's a process, not an event. My job description as pastor, are you ready? Is to perfect the saints, to be totally mature, totally discipled, totally developed, which means I have long-term job security. My job will never be done on this earth because we only become totally mature, totally developed, totally perfect when we graduate from earth to heaven. But in the meantime, we're growing, we're maturing, we're learning, we're understanding the things of God. Soaring spiritually is an upward climb. You have to make a decision. I have to make a decision. We've got to simply make a decision. Am I going to be involved in a church? Am I going to learn? Do I want to learn what the Bible says? Do I want to simply get into a small class? Do I want to be a prayer warrior? Do I want to fellowship with Christian people that believe like me? We have to make a decision. And by the way, when you make the decision, it's a lifetime journey. It's a nonstop flight from earth to heaven, learning and growing and maturing and developed spiritually so we can soar spiritually like eagles. See, it's hard for many to grasp because we live in such a instant gratification society. Because we're so impatient that we want everything now. We want to know everything about the Bible. We want to know everything about the doctrine. We want to know everything about the end times. We want to know everything about this, that, and the other because we're impatient. We've been taught that. You ever been to a store that has a checkout aisle and it's the kind of like the express aisle that says 10 items only blank. 10 items only blank checkout. So I've been in line. I've been in that line. And forgive me, you probably wouldn't do this, but the guy in front of me has more than 10 stuff in his aisle, in his basket. And y'all probably wouldn't notice that. I noticed it. And apparently I'm thinking, does that guy know how to read? Does that guy know how to count? Now y'all wouldn't think that way, but I'm thinking that way. I'm trying to get express. I want to get in. I want to get out of the store. And I'm about to lose it. I'm about to blow a gasket right there thinking like, man, I could have already been through that other line over there, and I got to wait on this guy that has more than 10, more than 10, more than 10. All of us, I'm just saying all of us can become impatient in our pursuit of spiritual growth, spiritual godliness, and spiritual sanctification. We can become a little impatient. We sometimes lose altitude on our journey on earth. Paul faced the same thing. He says, this one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind, I press on. Hey, church family, we have to let go of the past if we're going to soar spiritually. Just move forward. Find a church, find a class, find a group, find a body of believers and simply get hooked up with them, get involved with them, hey, and grow and develop and mature spiritually with like-minded people. And I tell people, hey, the best friend you ought to find is someone that's more spiritual than you. I want to find someone more spiritual than me, and that's not hard to do. I want to find somebody that I can go to and talk about spiritual things, talk shop, talk about the scripture, talk about my wheelhouse, which is the Bible and spiritual faith. I want to talk to the people that can talk back. And so the best thing you can do is find somebody that has some spirituality about them that you want to mimic them. You want to learn from them. You want to grow from them. You want to bounce ideas off of them. And what a wonderful thing that is. But sometimes you've got to like move past and forgetting the past. An elderly couple was sitting on a park bench. And the frail little husband said to his wife, I'm going to walk over there to the ice cream parlor. Do you want anything? She said, I'll take a strawberry sundae with chocolate fudge and nuts and whipped cream and no cherry on top. She said, you better write that down. You're going to forget it. And that little feeble, precious little husband said, no, my mind is like a steel trap. He goes. He comes back. He gives his wife a brown paper bag. Now, it's supposed to be a Sunday. He gives her a brown paper bag. She opens it up. It's a ham sandwich. She looks at her husband and says, you forgot the mustard. Now, that's a silly, funny little story. But what profound truth it has. We can't make progress on the maturity road unless we forget some things that keep us kind of like stuck in traffic. It's time to move on. It's time to aspire to soar like eagles. Discipleship is a long road of obedience in the same direction. Same stuff learning, same stuff hearing, same stuff doing, same stuff trying, same stuff asking questions about, the same stuff understanding a little by little. Colossians 2:6, so you have received Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and established in the faith. What it means. You got to stay on the road, be developed, to learn, to grow, to move forward. So spiritual growth is not optional. It is not optional. Spiritual growth is a process. And last of all, spiritual growth is a team effort between us and God. It's a team effort if we're going to grow. One of the primary causes, according to counselors that do like household counseling, one of the primary causes of conflict in a home is disputes that come up on whose job it is to do what in the home. So maybe you've had that in your home. Stuff like, whose job is it to take out the trash? Whose job is it to wash the clothes? Whose job is it to wash the dishes? Whose job is it to sweep the sidewalk off? Whose job is it? And so disputes begin to happen, according to counselors, in that dynamic. When it comes to spiritual soaring, many think it's God's job. That it's God's responsibility, that it's God's duty to get us spiritual. It's God's job. That's what people think. Others think that the opposite. They think spiritual growth and maturity is our job. The truth is, both of them are right. Leviticus 11 says, I am the Lord your God, sanctify yourselves, be holy, for I am holy. So here's what happens. Spiritual growth is a team effort. It's between us and God. Now, some people believe that it's God's job to make himself stay holy. Some believe that it's man's job to make ourselves holy. And the truth is, it's both right. It is God's job. He's holy. He don't have to keep himself holy. But it's our job to keep us, ourselves holy. It's joint effort. It's a team effort. Philippians 2, it is God who is at work in you, enabling you to work for his good pleasure. God's at work inside of us. It's a team effort. You're not alone. I'm not alone. God wants what we should want, but he wants it for us. And that verse is proving and showing both God and believers sharing, growing spiritually. So we can soar. In life, some things we control, other things we don't control. In sales, we talked about that all the time. I can only control what I can control. And in most people's vocations or life, we understand that term. We can't control everything. However, there needs to be a team effort because I can't control, for instance, I can't control me going to sleep. I like sleep. It don't take much sleep for me, but the sleep that it does take, I like it, I want it, I need it. But I don't have the power or the control to go lay down and say, okay, I'm going to sleep, I'll wake. I don't have that control. I wish I did. I don't. Now, I used to sell some medicines that really helped a lot in that area. I used to. I ran out. You'll get that later. So I can't control my sleep, but here's what I can control. There's some things I can control concerning maybe getting to sleep faster. Maybe I can control certain things to enhance going to sleep. Like a dark room, that might help. Like a firm, nice, soft mattress, that might help. A fan, that might help. Just the things that might help us go to sleep. Eventually, sleep will happen. Because I tried some things to help enhance me to get to sleep because I can't control it, but I can control some things around it. Same way spiritually. It's a team effort. God's there to help you, but then we have to make the choice. But together we can do it, and there might be things that I can enhance for my part to become more spiritually developed, more spiritually mature, more spiritually strong so I can soar. And I can be the Christian, mature Christian, spirituality that God wants me to be. Soaring spiritually has to be the goal. We got to aim high. Soaring spiritually, hey, we got to simply surge upward. Soaring spiritually is elevating our altitude. God's plan is this, to grow Christian oak trees. He wants us to be tall. He wants us to be strong. He wants our roots to be deep in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all he wants. That's all he wants. He's there to help us. But we sometimes have to join forces. And the process takes a little time. So let me encourage you as I close. Here goes. Make yourself open. Make yourself available. Partner, to join forces, to be on Team Jesus, to help us become and grow strong spiritually. It might mean we need to develop a better prayer life. It might mean we need to dedicate ourselves to a devotional time. It might mean that we need to devote ourselves to God's Word. There's things we can. We can't just come on Sunday. We can't just come on Wednesday at lunch. We have to. There's things we can do to help us in that aspect to join Team Jesus and us being able to soar spiritually like people. Be assured, God will do his part. He's faithful. We might have to step up our part. Scripture says we shall mount up with wings
as Eagles. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Eagles are fascinating. Eagles are amazing. Eagles are mysterious. Eagles are marvelous. But they also have that mystique to them. They have that mystique. Christians, man, we're the top of the human race in God's eyes to be a Christian and to grow spiritually. I'm telling you, head and shoulders above everything else. If you love the Lord and you love others and you do His will and you know His word and you're strong spiritually, that's what God wants. That's all God wants. And everybody here can have that. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for Eagles. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for being a Christian. We thank you, Lord, you paved the way for us to simply grow and develop it. We pray, we thank you, Lord, that you, along our lives, put people in our lives that helped us and encouraged us and prompted us up and answered our questions. And Lord, just allowed us to stretch in spirituality. Lord, we pray that we would be that person that somebody could come to and we could help disciple them. We could come beside them. We could answer their questions spiritually. Lord, I pray you just allow us personally to make a decision. And we're going to do our part. Knowing that you've already going to do your part, we can begin to grow and soar spiritually. We love you, Lord. We pray that you bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Well, Ruben's going to lead us in an invitation that we can help you. We're here for you.
Softly enter, dear Jesus is calling for you.
God loves you. Jesus died for you. So,
Thank
you so much for your attention. Appreciate your